We just want to take a moment before the main episode to say thank you very much to all our listeners, our subscribers, all the people who share, all the people who review, all the people who've rated us, because it's been a crazy first 2 months for this show. We've hit 13th for comedy in the Apple charts in Canada, and we're in the top 100 podcasts.
Which is amazing.
It's been mind-blowing.
I can't even fathom it. And it was having fun with my buddy one day. And then the next month, suddenly we've got hate mail, which is amazing.
don't assume that we're friends. So, but we are having fun.
We're having a lot of fun. No, so big thank you. Big shout out to everyone who supported us, who shared. And like, it's been tremendous. And we've gotten a lot of amazing reviews. And one of my favorite reviews is from Pache 1997, which says, fun show, but stop selling t-shirts. I don't want a t-shirt. Let me just enjoy the stories, which I am. So now we're going to make a t-shirt that says, fun show, but stop selling t-shirts, and send one to you.
Enough from us blowing our own trumpets. Let's get on with the show.
That's on with the show.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring, the show where I teach a reluctant Canadian about the politics of their own nation. I am Rhys Waters, and with me is Jesse Harley.
Hello, I don't want to be here.
Yay! I'm excited about this one. This scandal is huge. This is about a political scandal that shocked me when I read about it.
Okay.
In 1985, CBC's The Fifth Estate, which is like an investigative program, which I've never seen.
I've heard of it.
Exposed a heinous case of political skullduggery that would be too shocking to comprehend. Shockwaves would travel around the globe and the world would never be the same again. So this episode is called Tunagate, a Canadian fish scandal. Now,
what?
So Tunagate is so dramatic that it deserves its own audio sting. Are you ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Tunagate.
There you go. So, welcome to Tunagate.
Let the Tunagate games commence.
Okay. This was a major political scandal in the 1980s. Can you just guess from the audio sting and the title alone what it might be about?
I can't even begin to imagine. So there's a maple syrup mafia in Canada, so there must be a tuna mafia where like the mafia is in charge of tuna sales, secret meetings. Am I anywhere close to what's...
Not really, no.
No, I didn't think I was, no.
Okay. So close your eyes and picture in your mind a warehouse with a million tins of tuna in.
Jesus.
Can you see it?
I'm seeing it.
Count them all. Not now. Just. So what happened was, a company called Starkist, which was also selling tuna under the names Ocean Maid and By the Sea, was a tuna canning plant in St. Andrews in New Brunswick. And they had a million tins of rancid tuna that was declared unfit for human consumption.
What happened? You know how hard it is for food in cans to go bad?
I think it was already bad when it went in the cans. So they basically preserved the badness. So essentially, the government inspectors had said it was unfit. So it was, they tried to give it to the Ethiopian famine relief and they rejected it. So really starving people turned it down because it was so bad.
Well, yeah, it's bad fish. You don't want to eat bad fish. I'm starving. Do you have anything for me? Well, we've got this glass of water or a can of bad fish that guaranteed you will throw up or maybe die. Would you like some of this fish? No, thank you. No, I'm good. I'm used to being starving. I'll just keep doing that for a while. Thank you. No, like what? This is okay. Please continue. This is blowing my mind. So
they then tried to sell it to the Canadian Armed Forces. but they returned it after
hold Hold on.
After mess hall cooks complained about the quality and the smell.
Hold on a second. So first they tried to give it to starving Ethiopians. Starving Ethiopians said, no, take that back. And they thought, aha, our own troops.
You got to wonder about the thought process of trying to feed rancid tuna to the brave people who are kind of putting themselves on the front line and rewarding them with this delicious treat.
Right.
So progressive conservative fisheries minister John Fraser is the kind of the guy who knowingly approved a million cans of tuna that was rancid.
He knew it.
It hadn't worked with Ethiopians, as we said. It hadn't worked with the Canadian forces. So there was only one option left. Canadian supermarkets.
Oh, God. Oh, well, when did all this take place, by the
way? This was in the 1980s.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So he ignored numerous reports that the tuna had a powerful smell and under political pressure from the New Brunswick Premier, Richard Hatfield. They were worried that if these million cans of tuna didn't sell, it would put 400 jobs at the plant in New Brunswick at stake. And it was the main employer in this town. So the local political scene was, we need to shift this tuna. It's going to risk everybody's jobs if we don't. And he was like, okay, we'll put it out there. So
it's mind-boggling. Just as a side note, again, not knowing much about politics, but from what I kind of see standing back, I can see the extreme sides. When people yell politics, that's really what I hear. So I hear the extreme sides of liberals and I hear the extreme sides of the conservatives. And whenever I hear the extreme sides of the conservatives talking, it's always, and I mean always, about jobs. That's it. Jobs are the number one thing to them. That's it. That doesn't matter. If the world is on fire, can we get jobs out of this? It doesn't. It's mind-boggling to me. So when you say, "Hey, we could kill a million Canadians with this tuna," but
well, two million if they shared the tin with someone,
right? Yeah, right. But we will save 400 jobs in the process.
Everybody loves jobs. Everybody loves jobs. It's like kissing a baby. You know, I'm going to kiss this job.
So, anyway, it just blows my mind.
Do you want to hear his defense about the tuna?
What do you mean? I got a direct quote
from John Fraser about the tuna.
Yeah,
there is not a tittle of evidence, which is a phrase I've never heard before, but I'm going to use from now on.
Yeah,
there is not a tittle of evidence anywhere that any of the product is a threat or danger to the health of Canadians. And he said the inspectors flunked it based on texture and aesthetics. So just shut up and eat it. Just get over it. It might smell bad and look terrible. It's gone a bit green, but it's just texture and aesthetics.
I want to make a t-shirt with a can of tuna on it that just says underneath, just shut up and eat it. It's like they should have made that a TV advertisement for this. Let's ship them out to supermarkets and make an advertisement on TV for whatever, I don't know which, it was number of brands, like Seacoast tuna, just shut up and eat it. Just let it go.
You can take your texture and aesthetics and shove it, just eat it.
You can take your texture and aesthetics and shove it. Just shut up and eat it. Yeah.
So then the CBC.
I think a company that like just directly berating me until I take their product is kind of new and refreshing.
So you can see how dramatic this is.
Tuna Gate.
Yeah.
See? He just wanted an excuse to play that
again. I wanted to press it again. I spent at least 10 minutes making that. I needed to and press it again.
It's really good. It's very impressive.
Thank you very much.
I like it.
So yeah. CBC got hold of a tin, opened it, and described it as rancid and decomposing.
Who are the people? I want to interview some of the workers at this plant who are like, like, if this tuna is as obviously bad as literally everyone who opens the can says it is, what are the workers thinking to themselves? Like, Oh, well, at least I've got my job. Like, I don't know. Like, what?
The national media came up with some classic headlines about this. Okay. Changing his tuna and time to can the minister.
Well, hold on. Before we get into that, I want to know the end of the story. So did it ship to supermarkets?
It did ship to supermarkets, and it was okay. Then. And
so what happened?
It was recalled. So the kind
did
of
anybody
the,
get sick? Like
the happy ending of this was they took away the power of government ministers to overrule the decision of food inspectors. They thought it was a bad idea for people to politically force people to eat rancid and decomposing tuna, which is democracy in action, I believe. So I don't know why they had that power anyway.
Right, yeah. Like-
We have the power to force people to eat whatever the hell we want. So, like,
just shut up and eat it.
And there was no evidence that any people got sick from the tuna that was sold. So it was just texture and aesthetics. But I guarantee that John Fraser didn't eat a can of it or didn't make a sandwich out of it or a salad.
Right? That would have been the best. If you want to sell tuna that's gone rancid and you want to convince people it's not bad, eat it in front of camera. Just
and he was forced to resign. He did resign. He was forced to resign
is kind of an oxymoron, really.
It is. Okay, well, he was given the grace of being allowed to resign without being sacked first. So, he won that race. But even he resigned and no one was hurt by the tuna.
That's good.
And you know, no one fed it to any soldiers or any starving Ethiopians. In the end, but there were some serious casualties in the form of jobs. So Starkist, which had enjoyed a 39% market share, collapsed to zero.
Wow.
And in 1991, it pulled out of Canada, and the 400 employees in the New Brunswick plant were put out of work, and Charlotte County lost its largest employer, and it decimated the economy in the town.
Wow.
So there were casualties.
We have to sell. Well, this.
No, I mean, if they just kind of given up on those tins and not destroyed how people viewed the product Starkist was making, if they just made a different decision, yeah, they could have averted the whole thing.
Right. So the company wouldn't have gone under if they hadn't sold all of those cans.
No, if they'd admitted that it was a terrible mistake and just taken a hit. Maybe taking a loan out or just found some... I mean, they were obviously talking to the government. They could have asked for some funding or something just to get over it. But obviously, like, John Fraser and the premier of New Brunswick went for this decision. And in the long run, it destroyed the company. A million tins of tuna in a landfill wouldn't have, I guess.
So. This is astounding. So, okay, so is there any more to this story?
Well, yeah.
I'm fascinated.
So John Fraser, who made that terrible decision... and then resigned and then cost that town its main employer, his career recovered and he eventually became Speaker of the House of Commons. So he was fine.
Wow. What was it like the time period, the grace?
Everyone just kind of forgot about Tunagate and just moved on. And then he just started rising up through the ranks again of government and had lots of senior positions. So he was fine.
Yeah, no, of course. In today's day and age, when there's just so much information overload, especially when it comes to weird, weird stuff politicians and celebrities and everybody's are doing, if you do something embarrassing, just wait. Just kind of lay low and wait, and then you can kind of resurface because people are screaming about other stuff. It's fun world we live in. Really fun.
Yeah, I think that it's quite sad, really, because I don't know what I've never been to Charlotte County in New Brunswick, but
well, now we have a reason to go. We've got. We're making all these like a list of places to visit in Canada.
I feel like I should light a candle for the terrible decision making that led to that town, you know, losing its main source of employment
and for the gastrointestinal distress that it may have caused a few hundred people.
Not a lot of accountability there because he did quite well. He had a lovely career afterwards. So it's kind of depressing. So, how did you feel about
Tunagate?
I've managed to use it three times now.
I'm very proud of you. Yeah, you're doing a great job. We're all proud of you down at headquarters.
It is the most Canadian scandal I could imagine, though. Just a million. It wasn't about someone breaking into someone's campaign office or covering up a murder or anything like that. It was about a million tins of rancid tuna and what to do with them.
Right? Like, it's, and the order in which they tried to give it away seems like intuitively backwards. Right? Like, first, let's try to sell it to the people. Oh, no, no, we're getting some backlash on that. Okay, then maybe we'll give it to the military. Nope, they really don't like that. Now let's give it to starving people.
Let's donate it to a good cause.
Donate, yeah. And then, like, and just the fact that it's just mind blowing.
Anyway, well, I've had fun telling you about TunaGate. I had even more fun mixing the TunaGate intro.
I think you had more fun mixing the TunaGate intro than you did for researching anything we've had so far. But I'd make that into a television show. TunaGate, the television series, like a cartoon,
a Netflix dramatization.
Oh my God.
And they try and make it look sexy and life and death. But fundamentally, you remember that it's just about tins of tuna and nobody died.
Can we make this? Can we please make this a thing? So far, the three television shows I now want to make because of our podcast is, of course, Manitoba Nights. The second would be the tent bridge under PEI, under the PEI Confederation Bridge, Tent City. And now TunaGate on Netflix, yeah. Starring Alec Baldwin. So
Baldwin as John Frazier.
Yeah.
Mild-mannered fisheries officer. So... anyway, cool. Well, this has been fun, and we will see you next time.
Thank you so much for sticking us in your ear holes just the way you like it. And yeah, don't forget to I don't know.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, Jesse, have you heard the good news?
Oh my God, Reese, no. What is the good news?
Canadian Politics is Boring now has a website.
What? Oh my Lord! I'm peeing in excitement.
Like a dog.
In my pants?
Not like a dog. Yeah.
What's the website, Reese? I can't picture what it would be.
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com or .com, as the kids call it.
Right. Yes. No, go there if you want to see images that we talk about on the show that Reese shows me, or audio sound bites that we make for your, you can turn into ringtones, and you can follow along with the show. It's pretty fun. Fun place. Fun time. Stay. How do I suddenly know all about the website when you, Reese, just told me about it? Magic.
I know. Well, maybe you looked at it while I was talking because you were too excited to wait. Yeah. That's plausible. Let's go with that.